trying to express here, because we need to know who we are. You know, and it's throughout history, people have battled with that question, you know, who am I? And have come up with some, you know, amazing answers. I looked, you know, and if Anthony, if you can go to the next slide there, and, you know, a lot of question marks, but as you go and you look at what people came up with, you know, the first one is, I think, therefore I am. You know, it's amazing. All right, and next one is, I am, therefore I exist. And that is, you know, big philosophers, you know, I mean, how many thousands of years come up with this amazing discovery. Next one is something, you know, that many people say, I'm an evolved animal, you know, which is something that many, many people believe in this world. And, you know, this morning I was just reminded of, you know, of a joke where somebody went to the dentist, you know, and he sat there and waited, you know, he often have to wait quite a while. And then when the dentist eventually had the time, he came in and the dentist asked the person, so what can I do for you? And he said, doctor, I think I'm a moth. And the dentist like, ooh. No. He says, well, you know, I think you're at the wrong place. You should be at a psychologist. You know, so why did you come here? He says, well, the light was on. You know, so people think they are animals, you know. And the last one is to be or not to be. You know, that is the question. And if this question is this hard, if this question is, you know, that it's taken a lot of great philosophers to come up with these type of answers or actually even questions, then maybe it's not such a straightforward question after all. And, you know, and I will try to, this morning, to answer this question, which is, of course, you know, not that easy, but and I hope I won't confuse myself or anybody of you, but, you know, if after many, many years it says, I am, therefore I exist, it's, I think, we can do better than that. But, you know, if we look around ourselves, we can see that people are looking for an identity. They really want to say who they are. You know, it's either with the clothes they wear or the hairstyle they have or, you know, the house they live in or the car they drive or the body that they, you know, exercise. And all of this kind of thing, in many ways, is to find an identity. And I think the social media has actually done even a lot more on this, you know, when you have your profile, you know, needs to be that photo that you have there, needs to say who I am. You know, it needs to express. And if there's anybody else on that photo, it needs to be the right people. You know, because, I mean, they're expressing, you know, who I am. So it's incredibly important for all of us to know who we are. And it's, you know, and I was actually, you know, when I thought of what should I say this morning, and it's been, you know, a few weeks ago, actually, my youngest son told me something which has actually sparked this, you know. And he said there was this guy, and if you can just go, yeah, that's him. This guy said, you know, people think I'm Chinese, you know, but I'm actually Korean. And then there was another guy, it's the next guy. He says, you know, people think I'm African, but I'm actually American. And then the third guy, you know, people think I'm a drunkard, but I'm actually Irish. You know. So, I hope there's no Irish people here, but it's just a joke. But, you know, actually that question, what do people think who you are? What do you, you know, and that's, I was actually thinking about it, and I thought, I wonder what people think who I am. And would I also have to say, but I'm actually somebody else. But if we can go and start with to go into the Word of God, you know, probably the best way to look at this is to, you know, to ask the question, who does God say you are? You know, and I think there's no better way to start than on the first page of the Bible. Actually, in my Bible, it's on the first page, and I just want to read a short passage there from Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So God blessed them." Very, you know, we've read it many, many times. But I would just want to look at a few points on this scripture to see what it says actually who we are. And firstly, you know, I've underlined that up there, this, "and God said." And I thought, we actually don't have to determine or decide what our identity is. God says it. God has revealed it to us. So we do not have to, you know, receive or speculate in philosophy or in religion who we are. God has revealed it. You know, we have received this revelation from God. He's telling us who he is, and he's also telling us who we are. So it's this in here. It tells us who we are. And God says, through his word, he tells us, you know, it says there, "and God said," this is actually God speaking. This is not, you know, somebody else speaking. This is God said. So I think it's through delving into his word and that we will actually find out who we are. And first of all, know that he has determined our identity, nobody else. Secondly, and I've underlined it there. We won't go back to the scripture now. You may have it in front of you there, but where it says, "and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So actually, God has set us above the animals. Okay. So, you know, if we try and understand our identity outside scripture, we will, you know, it will result in tragedy, because we either think too highly of ourselves, we think we're godlike, or we think we are just some moth or some highly evolved animal. And I think what God is saying here is that he has actually humbly honored us. He has honored us to rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the livestock, and it says over all the earth. So, you know, whatever you think of yourself, who you are, this is what God says, that we should rule over. And it's a humble, you know, humble honor, I think. But the thing that I want to really concentrate on this morning and spend most of the time talking on is the third thing that is this about, You know, where it says, let us make man in our own image, in our likeness. And then later on again, God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created him, male and female, he created them. And that is something that I think, you know, after I looked at it again and again, at first it's like, suddenly it hits you in a way. And then after a while you think, gee, I wonder whether is this so exciting, you know, to anybody else. But it was like, it is like God has made us a mirror. You know, and that here on earth, God has actually said that we are image of him, a likeness of him, which is, you know, we should reflect back his image, you know, which is, you know, unbelievable if you really think about it, that God is spirit, yet he wants us to reflect his attributes here on earth. He's chosen us, he's created us, that we should be the mirror, the image, the likeness of him. You know, if you get up in the morning and you go into your bathroom and you look into the mirror, you know, then you see your image there. And you might not sometimes like it, but that's you, you know. So, you know, it's the mirror shows who you are. You know, you're kind of, oh, that's me there. And that is what we are called to. You know, God is loving. And if we love, we reflect God's love to others. You know, if you look at all of God's attributes, for instance, God is truthful. If we tell the truth, we reflect, you know, his truthfulness to others. And, you know, I could go on like forgiving. God is forgiving. If we forgive, we reflect his mercy and grace to others, you know, and God is generous. So if we are generous, you know, we reflect that generosity. And what I, you know, a very simple, under this number three there, which I don't know whether, you know, if I can really express it the way I want to, is this: if you know who you are, you know what to do. You know, if you understand who you are, you will know what you must do. Okay, if I can put it, it's not the other way around. I must do things so that I can establish my identity. You know, God has already revealed your identity. So if you know who you are the mirror. You're made in the image of God. So you know that you have to reflect. God is to reflect his attributes in this world. You know, and it's, if you think about it in the mirror again, if you don't stand in front of that mirror, there's no reflection there. So what is the mirror reflecting? It's reflecting you. So who are we supposed to reflect? God. So it starts with him. It doesn't start with us. It starts with him. So our goal is not for the world that we show the world that they know us. Our goal is for the world to know him. You know, and it's really this, he is the object, not we. You know, so it is just, I think this statement about if we know who we are, we can be courageously humble, we can be bold, we can be generous, we can be loving, and we can know our identity. You know, the question is not, what will this make me look like? The question is, how does this rightly or wrongly reflect God? You know, the way I portray, does it rightly reflect God, or does it wrongly? So, you know, if you know who you are, you will know what to do. You know, there's so many identity decisions that we take, you know. We always ask the question, you know, what do people think of me? You know, and that's the wrong question. The question is, how would they see God? And, you know, as I was contemplating about that, was actually thinking, you know, when we stand here and like this morning we praise and worship God, we worship Him, it's really reflecting back to Him, His praise. And I think as we understand who we are, and we out there in the workplace, in our family, that is worship. If we reflect back God's generosity, God's love, and it's really a worship. That is worship. We don't only have to worship here. We can worship in our place of work as we, you know, portray the image of God. You know, Jesus was called the image of the invisible God. He even said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You know, and He calls us to be like Him. So, He was the perfect mirror, you know, the sinless mirror. So, He really portrayed God in every aspect. And He calls us to rise up and understand who we are in Christ. And I want to just now just go a little bit more. What does it actually mean in Christ? But if I can just, end this little thing about we are made in the image of God, in His likeness, I want to just call you to understand who you are. You know, I want to ask you to ponder about that. Read these words again and just think about that we are made in the image of God. God has created us in His likeness. We are to be His mirror in this world. And just the fourth point on that short scripture there is where it just says in the beginning of verse 28, it says, and God blessed them. You know, Adam and Eve at that moment hadn't done anything yet. You know, but God blessed them. So it is, you know, God decided to bless them. He didn't ask them, you know, first do this, and then I will bless you. You know, there is this very corrupt view that we have to manipulate, if I can call it that, manipulate God so that He blesses us. You know, we actually spoke about it this morning in worship, you know, that it was free. Again, like God in the beginning blessed Adam and Eve, so He, while we were yet sinners, He blessed us. You know, it is not about I have to do this and then that and then that and then I will win the favor of God. So our identity, if we look at this scripture here, our identity is received. It is not achieved. We have received our identity. So you're not going to, you know, work for it and then suddenly you have an identity. Okay. We must realize that we have received this identity. You know, if we understand that, it will free us from this performance trap or this competitive trap, you know, that we always have to say, look, I'm not like that, and I'm not like that other person. It's much more holy, that person. And I just want to, you know, just talk a little bit about that. There is this thing about that some people are more valuable than you. You might think, you know, this person is more valuable than I, and that person is less valuable than I. All people are made in the image and likeness of God. Whether you are male, female, rich or poor, you know, whether you live in the first world or the third world, or you're healthy or sick. You know, yes, there are some people that are smart, that are more capable to do this and that, but actually, your net worth, you know, doesn't depend on your self-worth. Your net worth, you know, what you are worth in God's eyes, doesn't depend on what anybody else thinks you are worth or what you think you are worth. We all have the same net worth. We are all made in the image and likeness of God. You know, so, but you know, I think, then I thought, if that is the case, so why are there so many people that think about things like I am, or I am, therefore I exist, or I exist, therefore I am, and these things, you know. And I think with the fall, you know, that we lost our identity. I think Adam and Eve lost their identity. I mean, there were even that first question that was given to them where Satan said, you know, did God really say this? You know, he just said it because he doesn't want you to be like him. That's an identity. Oh, it's identity crisis, you know. Who are we? And it's there, it's, you know, it was that lie that, no, I'm not. You know, if you really think about it, if Adam could have turned around and said, you know, we are already made in the image of God. We are already. It says in some of the first verses in the Bible that we are made in the, he could have thrown that back at Satan, but he believed the lie. You know, of because it's, and I thought, why do we sometimes believe lies? You know, if somebody comes up to me and says to me, you know, you have cancer and you've got another 3 months to live. Now, let's say it isn't true, but the person tells me that and I believe it. I will live, I will go out here with a different behavior, live differently. If I believe it, then I will probably live a different life. And if you believe the lie, you will live a different life and seek your identity somewhere else, you know, in the things that you buy, the things that you want to possess. And that is, that's really then. So I thought there are really just two types of people in this world, those that are in Adam and those that are in Christ. Because those that are in Adam, you know, have inherited the sinful nature, have lost their identity. So, you know, yes, when we're born, we are born in Adam. We've lost our identity, and therefore we search until we find our identity. And this is where, you know, I have this here, that with the fall, we lost our identity. But thank God, you know, that in Christ we can again get our identity as it was in the first page of the Bible, the way God intended it to be. You know, in the New Testament, actually, it's over 200 times it says, in Christ, in Him. You know, when you read especially Paul's letters, it always says, you are in Christ. You know, and then I thought, you know, if somebody tells you something over 200 times, then one of two things, you know, well, both things actually. Firstly, it must be important. And secondly, he's probably afraid that you will forget it. You know, that if we are in Christ, we are a new creation. We are no longer fallen and lost our identity. You know, there's a difference between being in Adam and being in Christ. And it really happened, and I know I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but I just pondered about this, you know, at the cross, it's really there where Christ took upon himself that, you know, all the condemnation, all the sin that was should be on us, he took upon him and he gave us his, you know, goodness, love, faithfulness, he put upon us so that we can get a new identity again. You know, that, you know, we do not have to think about who we are and just sit there and depend on philosophy or something. You know, we can know who we are and we can be free from shame and condemnation because of who we know who we are in Christ. You know, in Adam, I just wrote down a few things where, you know, in Adam, there's defeat. In Christ, there is victory. In Adam, there is condemnation. And in Christ, there is salvation. In Adam, there's this sin nature, and in Christ, there's a new nature. You know, and in Adam, we've lost our identity, and in Christ, it is restored. So I think our identity, and if you, whether you're young or a little bit older, and you sometimes think, you know, who am I? Just know that if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are saved by the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have the identity as God had designed it right in the first page of the Bible. And I just want to read, you know, John 15. It actually talks about a little bit about how we are in Christ. You know, John 15, verse 5 and 6 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burnt. You know, and the importance of remaining in Christ is it's only in Christ that you can know who you are. So that first question about, do you know who you are? Are you in Christ or are you in Adam? You know, so often, you know, when people say, I want to know a little bit more about God, we probably say, go to the Bible. You know, and you can find out more about God, and that's correct. But when somebody asks you, I want to know a little bit more about myself, we probably say, go to psychologist, you know, and then they say, are you an introvert and you're an extrovert and you're this personality type, ENTP, or, you know, these things, and you're a shaper and a thinker and a feeler and all of these things, you know, and they might reflect a little bit about how you act, but they do not define your identity. You know, they might reveal a little bit about how you do things, but they do not reveal who you are in Christ. You know, and you can't start. If you have that question about who am I, you can't start looking at yourself, okay? And you can't, and equally, you can't start looking at somebody else, you know, because then you will start just comparing, oh, I'm not like that, and I'm not like that. And so often we then say, no, and I must do this, and we want to shape our identity by the things we do. And like I said earlier on, if you know who you are, you know what to do. So if you are in Christ, I just want to end off here. If you are in Christ, your identity has been restored. You will know who you are. Okay, you are made in the image of God, in the image of the living God. If you are in Christ, your identity has been restored. Then you will know what to do. Okay, to reflect, and I think if that's the only thing that you know, when you leave this place this morning, let's say, you know, I'm made in the image of God, and through Christ, I can be the mirror. I want to be the mirror to reflect God's attributes to the world, His love, His patience, His generosity, His truth, so that the world may know who He is through me. You know, and it is an absolute honor to actually be called a mirror of God, you know, that we can reflect Him. So, just put some statements there up there for you. Be the mirror of Christ in this world. You know, you are created in His image. Be courageously humble, bold, generous, truthful, and do not believe that lie that you have to do things so that you can be somebody. God has revealed it to us. Yes, we have received it. We have not achieved it. And, you know, and if there is someone that says, you know, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, when you talk about in Christ and in Adam, I want to really encourage you this morning that if you have any questions, please come and talk to me afterwards. It was really a, you know, as you look at short, if you really have to suddenly get up here this morning, you know, from that seat and talk here this morning, so often I find then I look at the scripture in far more depth, and I look at it and I ponder over it, and suddenly I see things that I didn't see before. You know, when I read there, and God said, I thought, you know, suddenly it becomes clear that, you know, God said it, who we are. I don't have to think about who I am. So be the mirror of Christ to this world. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you restored our identity on that cross, that you actually took our place. You took that which we deserved. You took upon yourself and gave us a new identity. And we just want to thank you this morning, Lord, that we can be reminded of the fact that you have made us in your image. You have, Lord, you've put us here on earth so that we can reflect your attributes to the people around us, Lord, to nature, to everything that we see, Lord. We know you have put us in charge of it, Lord, and we just thank you for that. Lord, we thank you that you've put us in this position that we can humbly, Lord, humbly be courageous and know who we are in Christ. I want to just pray, Lord, as we go out of this place, Lord, and we go into our homes, we go into our schools and hostels and places of work and wherever we go, Lord, pray that we will just ponder over these things, Lord, and really understand who we are in Christ. And we want to pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Christ in me, the hope of glory. You are everything. Oh. Christ in me, the hope of glory.